It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Monday morning, folks. Good Monday morning. It's great to be here. Full house today. Others trying to get in. We're on Global Star Radio Network. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Buckle in. It requires a seatbelt and a helmet to listen to this regularly. We promise you that it's going to shake your faith in a good way. It's going to make you question a lot of things that you've been taught to believe. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. You can see down here, for those of you who may be listening for the first time, you see what we call the queue down here. These are 10 people who've joined us, 9 actually who've joined us. We'll give them a link. They go to CoachDaveLive.com. They click on the link to join the huddle, and here they are. This is interactive. We do the best we can with the interactive. But we know that this is going to be watched now and listened to by hundreds of thousands, so we're not going to be able to get all of you into the program, and that's okay. But we just want you to sit back and enjoy. We think this is the way church ought to be done. We think a church is best done in a discussion group, that it tells us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I don't know about you, my pastor's been wrong a lot. And the only reason he's wrong a lot is because nobody ever really questions him. The elders don't really do that. I'm not talking about my pastor. I'm talking about pastors in general. So welcome to the crew. I only got an hour today. Got to start off, get your Bible open, first of all, to 2 Timothy. Go ahead and get that up there for us, Jared. 2 Timothy, I'm going to share with us right out of the scriptures. There's a spiritual war that's raging around us, and most people don't even understand that it's a spiritual war. Devil's dirty, devil plays dirty. And heard from my buddy Michael Andrews, haven't heard from him in a while. He's down in Savannah, Georgia, got walloped by the storm. I don't know, Michael, if I have time to read your email. It's very, very, boy, zip point on. He talked about, Michael, I'm just going to tell you this. Talked about when the hurricane hit down there in Savannah, Georgia, that he was prepared because of what we said on the show. Have a little bit of money, have some food, have some water. Well, everybody around him was running crazy because they didn't have anything. He was able to sit back and be able to take care of himself and his family and not fall into the panic that everybody else was in. So we give you a little bit of good advice here on the show. And happy that you're joining us. Here's what I want to do. Got Mike Heath in here. Mike's doing something today. And before we get Mike on here, I want to read 2 Timothy. Hey, guys, you know what our greatest fear is in this battle? It is always our greatest fear. It's fear. Wasn't it Franklin Roosevelt said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself? And he didn't understand that, but that is, in fact, the truth. And I think if there's one thing that holds men of God in particular, men of God in particular, holds us back more than anything, it's fear. We're afraid. Can we say that? That's why it told us in Joshua, be of good cheer, be not afraid, be not dismayed. How many times, I think it's like somebody else can Google this for me, an innumerable amount of times that the Lord tells us in, somebody Google this right now for me. How many times did the Bible tell us fear not? Somebody Google that. You're going to be shocked because that is one of the devil's greatest weapons. Is fear. And all fear is a false illusion. And if you could really sit down, most things, here it is. How many times is it in there? Look at that. Fear not, 365 times in the Bible. 365 times. That's one for every day, isn't it? Huh? Read what that says there, Jared. Slide that down there a little bit for me. Because that was a good take right there. Well, while you're fooling out, I want to get into Mike because Mike can only stay about a half hour. Mike Heath out in Maine. Wait a minute. I'm running in circles. I'm in 2 Timothy. Jared's finding this at 365 days. Every day, get up and face fear. Every day, get up and face fear. And you know, I'm going to tell you this. Uh-oh, thank you. Thanks, Wayne. False evidence appearing real. That's fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. That's what it is. And every day, fear is our greatest greatest obstacle we have to hop over. Now, hear me this. If the devil can't make you afraid, he will attack those near you to make them afraid. Fear is a spirit. Now, not being afraid of, if I'm driving down the road and it's raining very hard and it's slippery, being afraid of sliding on the road, that's a good fear. That's a good fear. That's not a spirit of fear. That's opening up your eyes and seeing what's around you and having some wisdom. But the fear that this Bible speaks of, that's a spirit that he says 365 times, fear not. It's a spirit. It's the greatest weapon of the enemy to keep you from moving forward and stepping into what it is that the Lord has you to do. And many people, many, 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 many people are imprisoned by fear. That's why we do our boot camps. We want to help you get through that fear. You can go preach about it all you want to. You can talk about it all you want to. Until you go, you will never face your fear. So I'm in 2 Timothy. I want to get there. Jared, if you can pull that back up there for us. I'm sorry, man. Let's start in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. See, faith overcomes fear. The only thing that overcomes fear is faith. We'll say it again because you don't get it. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. Faith and fear cannot abide in the same heart. It's like fire and water. One will extinguish the other. You cannot have faith if you have fear. So we see here, unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, faith from your grandma, how about that, then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is in you also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. There it is. It's a spirit, the spirit of fear. See, it doesn't say God will not make you afraid or allow you not to be afraid. So God has not given you a spirit of fear, but the spirit he has given you is of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind overcome fear. Be not thou therefore ashamed. Here you are, Mike. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So he's telling this, here's what's going to happen, boys. Here's what's going to happen. Fear is going to come upon you, and it's going to prevent you from being a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. When you preach the gospel, afflictions and fear will come. It's guaranteed. Now, hang on. It may not come to you. That happens to me. I fear. Don't get me wrong. Many times I'm afraid and don't really want to do it. But I recognize the spirit of fear for what it is, and I push through it. And then when I push through it, what happens? Then that thing explodes, and then when it explodes, the particles, the fragments hit those around me. And those around me always end up getting hurt. And so I really made a mistake this last couple weeks because I didn't cover those around me in prayer. Huh? There's a lesson there. When you step out into the storm, if I'm going to go out in the storm, in the thunderstorm, I take the umbrella, take everything with me. But I also do this. If I'm taking my grandchildren with me, I make sure that they're covered too. Make sure my wife's covered. I make sure everybody's covered before we go out in the storm. There's a tendency sometimes to run ahead into the storm, and then you make it through the storm, but everybody else gets drenched behind you. That's a good word of wisdom there to understand how the enemy operates. So Mike Heath, Mike's got a little video, Jared. Let's get that video ready to play. Mike Heath is facing his fear today, and I'm going to let him talk about it a little bit. Guys, this is where I want all of us to get. That's why I'm giving this time to Mike. This is where I want all of us to get. Mike is launching a referendum in Maine to come against homosexual rights, not special rights, whatever it is. I'm going to play this. Listen, Mike's afraid. That sounds awful to say that, right? We just, oh, no, man, I'm not afraid. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. Fear's normal. Fear's normal. Quit saying you're not afraid. The problem's not being afraid. The problem's staying afraid. Okay, got to push through this. So Mike's forcing himself to push through it today. I want to play this minute and 20 second video of Mike, and then we're going to let Mike tell us what he's going to do today. And hopefully we're going to encourage him and walk through this thing together. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
I don't know if you can see it there in the background, but that's Mount Katahdin. I just stopped at this rest area. I'm on my way to St. Francis, which is right on the Canadian border, about a five-hour drive from my house. And I'm going to be launching my referendum against transgendering at 9 a.m. in the morning in front of the post office in St. Francis. You know, I'm doing this because my grandfather, Larry Stewart, who's gone now, he's passed, helped to create Baxter State Park. Back there, it's really beautiful. And Maine is not about transgendering. It's about beautiful summits, beautiful highs, beautiful peaks, like the one at the top of Mount Katahdin, the highest mountain in Maine. It's a mile high. And I can't stand by and watch this leftist movement continue to push my family into this degradation, this pit of sexual craziness. So, even if I'm doing it all alone, which I may be, based on what I've learned over the past year and a half, I'm going to do it. I'll be out there handing out flyers and gathering signatures. Hey, give me a call and let me know you want to help. Thanks.
So, Mike, I talked to Mike this weekend. Mike has always been a guy. I let him tell the story, but I want to paint a little bit of a background for you. Mike ran the Christian Civic League of Maine for 25 years. He was the James Dobson of Maine. I think I can say that. And Mike always got other people to do it. He organized and had other, you know, he was in the ivory tower. He was directing everybody and raising the money and doing all that stuff. And never really got his elbows skinned up or his knees skinned up. He sent others out to do it. And now he's come to the realization that he has to move beyond the ivory tower, and he himself has to go face his fear with initiative. So he's driven clear up to the northern part of Maine. If you guys have never been to Maine, I mean, there's places up there where the flies haven't even discovered yet. I mean, it is way up there. And that's where Mike is. He stayed with Sarge last night, and now he's got to drive 4 hours past Sarge's house to get up there. So it's way up there. And Mike's going to go up to this area, and he's going to launch this initiative, an initiative to get signatures, to get it on the ballot, to turn back this homosexual agenda. Now, Jared, get ready also to put your dad's the flyer he's going to hand out. And he has to be going by 7:30 today, so that's why I'm trying to hurry through this little thing. Mike, go ahead and take as much time as you need and explain to us where you are and exactly what's happening here.
Well, I drove 4 hours yesterday, made that video about two-thirds of the way up, and stayed with Sarge last night. He and his wife, Mary, were gracious hosts, and I only gave him a few hours notice because some other thing fell through. What happened Saturday is I felt the urging of the Holy Spirit to pick up this referendum. I had set it aside for a year and a half. It's been eating at me, and I've been kind of working on it and getting into all kinds of trouble, but I'm not going to go there. So I decided that I would launch it this morning in front of a post office and face my – I've never – like you said – I don't want to repeat what you said, but I've always been in the ivory tower leading these things, and I've been fighting this issue for almost three decades in Maine, and mostly we've won, but toward the end we lost because the other side brought Soros' money in here and propagandized the public. And
Scared the churches.
Yeah, the churches are scared to death, and I'm scared to death to go to the post office in St. Francis. The reason I'm going to St. Francis, if you go to a map, St. Francis, Maine, if you want to Google it on Google Maps, St. Francis, Maine, it's right at the end of the road, literally, into the woods.
Somebody just said, Mike, it's the most northern post office in America.
It is, and it's...
Continental America.
There's only one town beyond it. It's called Allegash, and it's the woods of...
I've been there.
Yeah, and very tiny little village. But the reason I'm going there is because Ben Buber resurrected the Christian Civic League of Maine. The Christian Civic League of Maine, I headed for 20 years, the most well-known evangelical Christian ministry in Maine. And Ben Buber resurrected it. He served there in the job I had for 33 years. And he was a man of great courage, highly respected. And I am honoring his memory and his courage by launching this next to where his family grew up which was in the
Alabama. That's why he's going to Northern Maine. Mike, let me speed you up because I don't want to lose you here. Listen, Mike's going to go stand out on the street. He's going to hand out these flyers. We're going to let you see. He's going to gather signatures. But, Mike, tell him what's going on in your heart. Tell him the truth of it.
Well, I'm scared to face rejection, face-to-face, flesh-and-blood rejection. Now, it seems funny to be saying that. I've been rejected on the front page of the newspaper.
You live on rejection. Yeah, that's right.
I've lived on it through my career, but I'm scared to death this morning to face it in the flesh-and-blood form right in front of me from strangers. And it's, I think, really paralyzed me, that fear. It's paralyzed me and weakened my leadership. And so I would appreciate prayers for me as I do this today.
But first of all, Mike, you're going to confront your fear. Mm-hmm. You're going to go face your fear. Mm-hmm. Now, as Mike and I had a brief conversation on the phone before he came on, what are you afraid of, Mike?
Rejection.
Rejection.
Being rejected.
Now, Mike, I'm doing this and I'm watching the faces down here because I want us all to think this through a minute. What are you doing? What are you doing, Mike? By doing this initiative, who are you honoring by doing this initiative?
God's rules regarding sexuality, marriage, and love between men and men and men and women.
Okay, so the question we have to ask ourselves, fellas, girls here on the queue, is why would you let somebody intimidate you out of that? That's why the Lord said God's not given us a spirit of fear. Why did he tell us that? Because to stand up for him is going to bring fear. It's going to bring fear. Now, we are in the mess we are in because a guy like Mike Heath is admitting he was fearful. I wish Robert was on here today. He would tell you when he went to Target, he was fearful. Jared, probably, when he went there, he was fearful. Rich, when he went there, he was fearful. It is a normal reaction to standing up for the Lord. Now, let's help Mike walk through this thing. Come on, Mike. Talk to us here. Fearful of rejection. What does that look like? What does that mean, Mike? Rejection, by the way, from people you don't even freaking know. Do you know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go stand for him, and you're worried about being rejected by people you don't even freaking know. Is the left fearful of rejection?
Nope.
Wonder why they win. So, Mike, you're going to go up there. You're going to hand out these flyers. And what do you hope to accomplish, Mike?
Well, one thing today, and that's to confront my fear and overcome it, my fear of this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about gathering signatures for me today than it is about putting flyers in the hands of people and then getting to the other side of doing it.
Mike, let's whittle it down. The truth is, you're fearful of standing up for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Really, right? And I'm not saying this to beat up on Mike. We're all there. We're all there. We know the truth, and we won't stand up for the truth. And in not standing up for the truth, we're no better than the disciples who ran from Jesus when they arrested him. We are fearful. Christian men are fearful. Help us out here, somebody. Why are we? Jared?
I just got an example. This weekend, me and my mom, we go to Target and we hold signs. And I just added a new sign. So one says, the Lord detests the wicked and he loves the righteous. And then I've got the two guys kissing sign showing that homosexuality is the wickedness I'm talking about in this Bible verse. And then I got a new sign. It's like a 6 foot long abortion, dead baby sign. And just from adding that sign in changed the fear. I started fearing again.
Amen.
Because
huh?
I added more truth to my display. I added more truth. So I became afraid once again. And then I said, no, we got to do it. And we ended up getting more thumbs up. We ended up getting, it was all fear. You know, so that's my example. The more truth, the deeper the truth, the more afraid, but the more you can recognize it.
And the other side, listen to me, even if they're on our side, even if they're on our side, supposedly, guys, you better hear me, Your pastor will feed to your fear. He will not encourage you to stand up for the Lord. He will feed into that fear. Oh, Mike, I don't know, Mike, if you ought to go do that. Oh, Mike, you know, what are people going to think? We're a hate church. Oh, Mike, I don't know, Mike. Have you thought about this, Mike? Are you sure this is what the Lord? Yes or no, Mike?
Right. Well, you and I both know what my pastor, where he stands.
Yeah. Yeah. Stands in the side of fear. Right. Stands on the side of fear. Anybody got anything to throw in here? Jared just gave us a bunch of truth, man. The more truth, the greater the fear. Every time you take faith to another level, fear will be the opposite. The first opponent that shows up will be fear. Every time you take it to another level, fear is the first opponent that shows up. Can anybody encourage Jared here this morning? Anybody got anything to say about this? About 10 minutes and he's got a roll.
Mike, I'm blessed that you're doing what you're doing. It means a lot, an awful lot. And I hope it encourages other folks to do whatever it is they've been. The first thing Satan tells you is, well, you better not do this because of this, that, and the other. People aren't going to agree with you. The fact that you're jumping out and doing that is just, it's an incredible blessing. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me make an illustration and then I'll let somebody else jump in here. It's one of the things I admire most about Trump. If anybody has a reason to be afraid, it's Donald Trump. Now, maybe he isn't even fighting for a righteous cause. I don't even want to get into that anymore. I don't even want to get into it. That guy's got it's amazing. It is amazing how this guy, don't tell me he's not afraid. Don't tell me he's not afraid when he looks at everything that's coming around. Don't tell me that. Yet he continues to face the fear and move deeper and deeper and deeper. And then they throw more and more at him. Guys, listen, it's like this in this spiritual battle. This is the way the enemy shows up because fear is a spirit and that spirit will paralyze you. Somebody else want to jump in here? Add anything or encourage Mike?
Hey, Mike, even if you get arrested, I don't think you're planning on doing any more job resumes, so it's not going to make any difference.
I think it's a resume enhancer anyway, in my honest opinion. It's good baggage. What are you going to say, Rich? Thought you were going to jump in here.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, Mike. I understand, just like Coach said, when we went to the clinic the first time, my knees were shaking. I'm a big guy. And it is, I understand that fear of rejection, but how awesome is a man like you that set an example for the rest of us, you know, and I'm grateful for you. I'll be praying for you today.
Hey guys, you walk into a football locker room. I've been in, I don't even know how many football locker rooms I've been in. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see guys sitting on a bench in front of their locker, and you're going to look at their feet, and you know what their feet are doing? They're running in places. They're sitting there. Their palms are sweaty. They're doing this kind of stuff. Why? Because they're about to go to war. And even though you've been at war, I don't care how many times you've been at war. I don't care how many times you've run down that football field. I don't care how many times that fear comes on you, man. Every time that you get ready to run back on that field, that fear is going to be standing there trying to prevent you to go. And remember this, you are going to be hindered most by the fear of those closest to you. Boy, that went right over your head. That went right over your head.
We, a coach had a summit in New England led by Dr. Scott Lively, who's one of my heroes, a week and a half ago or so, and he asked me to speak. And when I had my chance, I said that one of the questions was, what's the biggest problem that confronts us in New England? And I said, fear at that. And the response I got from the group was confirmed what I sense. I'm not the only one that's afraid when it comes to this issue of sodomy in particular. I think the abortion issue is coming our way a little better. But sodomy has us really intimidated, scared to death. Christians are scared to death of this.
Mike, I'm going to say something that Larry said before we went on the show. Larry, I hope you can remember it because I'm going to let you say it. I'm going to steal it, Larry, but I'm going to let you say it publicly so that everybody knows. And I was talking about the whole thing with with Trump and how people are missing it with Trump. I'm not blowing the horn for Trump. I'm just saying, if you can't see what's going on and we think that we're going to get righteous men, somebody shared a scripture with me about electing righteous men. And Larry said the most profound thing. Larry, go ahead and say that again for our viewers and listeners and those checking us out.
I said, we're out here trying to clean up the mess when we should have stopped the mess from happening.
And we have to stop the mess now. We have to stop the bleeding before we can clean it up, don't we, Larry? And we don't recognize that. So what's Mike Heath trying to do? He's trying to stop the bleeding. He's trying to stop the bleeding. It would be like Mike Heath as a paramedic. He shows up on the scene of a terrible accident, and they get mad at him because he's putting the tourniquet on too tight. Somebody comes up and criticizes him. Mike, you shouldn't be doing that, Mike. Guys, we are bleeding to death. America is bleeding to death. The church is bleeding to death. We have got to stop the bleed. Sarge says, just like building the border wall, stop the bleeding before you clean up the Islamic raid on America. Stop the bleeding. Stop the bleeding. That's where we are. And that's what you're going to try to do in it, Mike.
Yes, and folks can learn more. I said in that video that I might do it alone, but I immediately was proven wrong in that, because Kevin stepped up and he's got a petition. He and his wife Mary read the flyer, were moved by it. And if you go to mikeheath.net/mainresistance, you can check it out.
Pull up that thing, Jared. Let's go over this real quick. Mike, can you see it to read it, or do you want me to read it?
I can read it.
Okay. Here's what Mike's going to be handing out in front of the sidewalk on the northernmost post office in continental United States. He's going to sweep south. Here's what he's handing out to him.
With thanks to Brian Kamiker from Mass Resistance for preparing this, stop this destructive social experiment in Maine. In 05, the Maine legislature added sexual orientation to the human rights statute. It defined it as including gender identity and expression. This was done after intense lobbying from the LGBT movement. Around the country, the movement uses anti-discrimination laws as a legal hammer to force their agenda on unwilling citizens into schools, restrooms, stores, businesses, government, and all public accommodations. That's exactly what's happened in Maine. And as a result of this law, schools across the state have homosexual clubs. They have transgender appreciation assemblies. Mm-hmm. Elementary school children are taught that having two dads or two moms is exactly the same as having a mom and dad. Homosexual themed books are now in school libraries across the state. Parents have no choice about these programs in the schools, and they cannot exclude their children, and they can even be held legally liable if they complain. Bakers, caterers, photographers, businesses with wedding facilities can be sued and forced out of business if they decline to offer their services for homosexual events. Businesses must offer benefits insurance to homosexual couples. Adoption agencies can't turn away homosexuals. The birth parents have no choice in the matter. In 2014, the Maine Supreme Court ruled that this law even requires transgenderism to be forced into the state's public schools. As a result of this ruling, boys must be allowed to use girls' bathrooms and locker rooms if they identify as girls, and vice versa. Boys must be allowed to wear dresses to school and be treated like girls, and vice versa.
Okay, guys, folks, I'm going to stop you. Mike is handing this brochure out today as he collects signatures. Go ahead, Mike.
Teachers and school staff are required to address a boy by a girl's name and refer to him as she and vice versa if he desires. Students who identify as the opposite sex must be allowed to play on that sports team. For example, a girl in Topsham, Maine was on the boys' swimming and tennis teams because she identifies as a boy. And there's more coming. Around the country, the LGBT movement has already started using these anti-discrimination laws to force health clubs to allow men who identify as female to use women's showers, force all social-oriented businesses to comply. Dating services must offer homosexual dating services. Force businesses to offer sex change procedures as part of their health insurance packages. Outraged citizens around the country are realizing they must stop this insane intrusion on real human rights. The government must secure the right for parents and children to lead normal, natural lives and not have unhealthy, unnatural, unwanted behaviors forced on them. Maine has the opportunity to stop this lunacy. This referendum will undo the 05 legislative action and remove sexual orientation from the Maine Human Rights Statute. Please sign this petition and allow the referendum to come up for a statewide vote of the people. And then, of course, that image. And by the way, I led the 2005 action And we need to correct that. I led the referendum to undo that, and we failed by a very slim margin. So
your goal now, Mike, is to get this. Explain in a nutshell what your goal is with this referendum.
My goal is to rip sexual orientation, the phrase, which I call a term of art. I think it's fine. It may be fine in counseling and private discussions at the individual level, but as a matter of public policy, it's a nightmare. And it's being used as a club against good people. And so my goal is to rip sexual orientation, the phrase, two words, out of the main Human Rights Act. Very simple change in the law, very simple. But it has a huge effect because it takes away from every citizen in Maine the opportunity to use the government as a club against good people. It takes it away. It's a simple change that makes a profound difference. It also will undermine the foundation of same-sex marriage, even though it won't repeal it. It undermines it. So
folks, how far removed are you? Say, well, Mike, this is kind of crazy. It's kind of unnecessary. How far are we removed, folks, from animal human sex being normalized, taught in our schools, and then put on the human rights campaigns of sexual orientation? So, Mike,
we're already there philosophically and ideologically, right? Sexual orientation. Why doesn't it include bestiality? Of course it should. It has.
So this Mike started out with this calling this an initiative, equal rights, not special rights. And that's what you have to understand. This idea that because of your sexual orientation, you now are guaranteed certain rights because of your sexual orientation is absolutely stupid. And so Mike is doing everything he can through an initiative to put it before the people to vote on it, to pull that out of the law.
We're a republic. We're not a direct democracy. And it is a horror that we have to deal with this using referendums. And the reason we have to do it, and we've had to do it in Maine for 30 years, is because the politicians don't have any guts, and the institutions don't have any guts. The corporations don't have any guts. The only institution in Maine that has shown any courage on this issue for the past three decades are the small conservative evangelical Protestant churches. That's the only institution. The Roman Catholic Church took a pass, which is the largest religious institution in the state of Maine, for the last 30 years. The only group, the only institution that has stepped up and said no to this, and has been successful, by the way, more than it's lost, are these small conservative evangelical Protestant churches. And now they aren't fighting
anymore. Tell us what happened yesterday, Mike, if you feel liberty to do that.
Well, I talked to the pastor, and I just could tell.
One pastor that he knows.
Yeah, pastor that I just could tell there was nothing there. There was no fight left. There was maybe, I don't know if there was fear, but I didn't sense anything. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he calls me, and because I gave him the flyer, and I said, let's get busy, and we'll see what happens.
The lie that it's settled law, right? That it's settled law.
Yeah.
When we know that. We pass new laws all the time. We repeal laws all the time, do we not? Aren't they trying to repeal, come on, the Second Amendment right to own a gun? Aren't they trying to repeal that? I thought that was settled law. So here's what we know, and I tried to encourage Mike with this, and I'm going to let you go there, Mike, and let you say what you finish up with what you want to say. Statistics show us this, that this is at worst, a 50-50 issue. At worst. Here's what I know. On the streets, the most vocal people Mike will hear from will be the God haters. They have far more courage and far more boldness than the Christians. He'll get a lot of thumbs up for the Christians, but quietly, because they are totally and completely controlled by fear. It controls everything we do. Fear does. And so Mike is going out today to confront that fear for his own heart, to face that fear. As Jared said, when he showed up at the Target again, a new fear came on him when he took the abortion picture with him. And Mike, you're gonna run into a lot of those spewing vomit on you, and some of them will be Christians that are going to do it. Just want you to be prepared for that. Anything else, Mike, or anything? Anybody want to add anything here?
This is the issue globally, Coach. This is where they begin to destroy civilization, is by adding sexual orientation to human rights laws. And that this is the point where we must fight. I'm going to set the example in my own heart today, and God willing, this will continue.
Guys, they already hate us. They already hate us. I want to tip my cap real quick, by the way. Hang on a minute, Mike. Tip my cap here. To Cenk Unger, and what's the name of his group? You know what I'm talking about? The Young Turks. And I want to thank that other Reddit. Is that what it is, Jared? Reddit. And I want to thank Right Wing Watch, because we're up to my video I made, which was full of truth, is now up over 150,000 views. And the result of it was unbelievable attack upon us for doing nothing more than speaking the truth. See, now be encouraged by that. I said this the other day, and it's so true. If you pick up a rock and you throw the rock into the middle of pigs, you know you've hit one when you hear it squeal. And so we have to see that. There's a lot of squealing going on. Mike's going to stir up some squealing. But you're going to have to make a decision. Hear this. You serve whatever you fear. Say it again. You serve whatever you fear. If you fear finances, you're going to serve that. If you fear your boss, you're going to fear that. If you fear relationships, you're going to serve that. You're going to serve whatever you fear. And we're supposed to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, why are we not afraid of him? Why are we afraid of some dude at the post office? Why are you afraid of some homosexual that can't even figure out how to do sex right? Why do we let those guys fear us? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you stand up and you push back and you fight, you have to understand this is what's going to happen to us. Anybody else before we shift gears here a little bit?
God bless you guys. I'm headed.
We'll be praying for you, Mike. They always say that. We'll pray for you, brother. We'll pray for you.
Give me a report.
Here's what I'm going to do. In the morning. Okay, listen, here's what I'm going to do right now. Right now. I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a minute right now. Everybody listening to this tape right now. Right now, everyone, we're going to stop for a minute, and you're going to pray for Mike and his initiative. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray however you want to do it, but we're all going to aim our prayers right now for 1 minute towards Mike Heath. Let's do it. Jesus' name. Amen. Mike, a lot of prayers went up right there. It's going to be a lot of them. It's going to go up all as people listen to this throughout the day. I hope you prayed. Hey, I get so sick and tired of people saying, I'll pray for you, brother. And then they don't even do that. They don't even do that. So if you haven't, you pray when the show's over. Well, you stop right now and pray. Pray for Mike and his initiative, for a covering on him, a hedge of protection, for favor. Yes, Mike.
Mike, you're walking with the blood of Jesus on you.
Amen.
And remember, this is of the Spirit. And if it's of the Spirit, leave it in his hands, because all you need is one person that says, gives you a thumb up or says, I agree. And that's all you need, because that one person will tell one other person. And Amen. That's how it spreads. Mike, Amen. Don't worry about how many agree with you. Just get one at a time. Just like Mother Teresa picked up bodies one at a time, and God will bless and increase what you're doing. Amen. God bless you, Mike. You're doing the right thing.
Michael Appleseed. Michael Appleseed. Yes, Stephen.
If my sissy self can do it, you can do it, Mike.
In fact, we may later on here, we may get a whole crew of people up here to help get this thing done at some point. We may just end up in Maine. But see, listen, Mike's doing it for Mike today. Mike's going to go out and face his fear today, and he'll be strengthened as a result of it. And so we'll be praying for you all day, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, man.
I'm on my way.
All right, baby. Hey, see, that's a story, fellas. That's a story. And that's what our boot camps are about, by the way. And I'll tell you this. It's the one thing that will keep men from coming to the boot camps, too. That's the one thing that will keep them from coming. Because you know what they're worried about? They're worried about their friends saying, I saw you out there. What the hell are you doing out there? That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of men. Fear of men's a snare, man. It's a snare. Fear of men, it's a snare. We all got our foot caught in that thing. We got our fear pointed in the wrong direction and at the right thing and at the right target. And the enemy, the righteous, the Bible says that the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. That's what it says. Come on, rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul, mind and strength. Let's serve the King of Kings. You're going to serve whatever you fear. Amen, boys. I could preach there. Somebody.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, you said this before, and I look back on my years playing football years ago, you know, the coach leading the team out. You know, his number one goal was that the number one antidote to fear is believing you can win. And once you are convinced, and we've already won, outstanding, Christ won for us.
Amen.
And even though we struggle with it, the church's issue and our own issue is, we don't believe we can win.
We don't think
we can. And the left's kicking our butt because they believe they can win.
Rich, it's even worse than that. We don't even think God wants to win. We think he's going to win at the end. And did you want to say something, Jared? Rich, you're having an audio issue. I don't just want you to know that. We've heard you, but it broke up. Go ahead, Jared. You want to say something?
Same thing. If you believe that you're going to win, then you're going to win. You're going to go do it. You're going to act like it. And if you're a Christian and you say, no, a man and a woman are actually the same thing, or gay, a man and a man can marry. If you say any of that in any way, at any point, you don't believe the Bible. I mean, you don't believe in, you don't fear God. You don't fear God. And you're an idiot if you don't fear God.
That's right. That's right. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't even have that. Okay, I'm going to shift gears on here real quick. That's good stuff, guys. At our boot camps, we're going to take, listen, I'm going to give you a warning. We're going to take you to the gates of hell. We're going to let you see it's not all that scary. Ah, it'll be scary. It's okay. You know what the promise is? Jesus told us, you're going to be hated of all men. Anytime you stand up for him, you're going to be hated of all men. And there's going to be a counterattack. The enemy's going to come after you. He's going to come after those you love. And it's just the truth. I want to show you something again here. 7:42. Got just a few minutes left. I want to shift gears a bit because I think it's important that we shift gears a bit. I'm going to show you two quick videos. First one is we live in a banana republic. We have become what we used to laugh about, Venezuela. And we have become that. We have become that. Our government is so corrupt at the top. The FBI has been corrupt. Every level of government has been corrupted. And it has been corrupted because of exactly what we've been talking about here this morning. The devil's kids are unrelenting and fearless. And God's kids run and hide and cower. And we worry about stuff we worry about in our leaders. Oh, well. What's that, Larry? Got to stop the bleeding before you can clean it up. Stop the bleeding. I want you to listen. This is Newt Gingrich on, say what you want to about Mr. Newt. I mean, who knows? But I want you to listen to something he says that is absolutely profound. You listen to the 2 minutes of this, and you ask yourself if your father, your grandfather, would even believe that he's talking about America, of how our government institutions have been destroyed. They've been destroyed with the silence of the church. Take a listen to Newt and Sean Hannity.
Book is out today. It's called Treason. Former Speaker of the House, Fox News.
Listen to this.
Newt Gingrich. All right, here's what's amazing about this to me. Number one, you see the dark arts of politics that the Clintons played against Obama. That's now revealed in WikiLeaks. And on top of that, you got this collusion, full collusion with the media. They're an extension of Clinton. Then it's also the State Department. They're tipping off Clinton. The Justice Department is tipping off Clinton. The White House is helping Clinton with the email server scandal. And why? Because Obama, who said he learned about the emails like we did from the press, actually was emailing the private email. What do you make of all this? In the media, by the way, all they want to talk about is some new woman that made an allegation this late in the game against Donald Trump.
Well, look, I think you have to see the whole thing as the same thing.
You have Republic.
So much corruption underway now that, you know, you get $1 million check from a dictatorship in the Middle East for as a birthday gift for Bill Clinton. Well, in a healthy society, that'd be considered bribery. You get richest man in Mexico donating millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation while he's also the major stockholder in the New York Times, which just happens to be doing everything it can to protect Hillary Clinton.
Can I just stop you? The $1 million check came from Qatar, a country that allows that its marital rape is legal?
Well, it's also a country which Hillary herself had said was helping support and sustain ISIS.
Yep.
I mean, one of the things, WikiLeaks, there's so much material there that it's going to take a while for it to sink in. But WikiLeaks actually is going to presently give us an entirely new understanding of how sick and how dishonest and how corrupt the left is and all of its mechanisms, the news media, the bureaucracy, the campaign. And at the center of it are the Clintons, and Hillary Clinton is the most corrupt candidate ever to run for president of the United States. And you're now seeing detail after detail after detail that it's beyond any reasonable question of the depth of their corruption and what they would bring into the White House. If you look at how the $10 billion was supposed to go to help the Haitians after the last earthquake, and what do we have happen?
Yeah.
You suddenly had friends of Bill who came to, not people who knew Haiti, not people who had particular skills, but friends of Bill, people who had donated, suddenly got special State Department treatment. This kind of stuff's surfacing now in a way that I suspect the average American over the next week or two is just going to be sickened by the repetitive example of corruption.
Do you think it's a coincidence that here we are 25 days out of a campaign and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, six women come out and make allegations against Donald Trump? Six. And do you think it's coincidental it's happening right in the middle of a massive document dump that implicates the Clintons?
Look, if you're the New York Times or CBS News or the Washington Post, and you're desperately propping up the most corrupt candidate in history, you're going to reach for anything. I think it's actually funny today that the man who was cited by that first woman being on the first class flight in the airplane 30 years ago actually came out of the woodwork, turns out to be British, said, yes, I was sitting across the aisle. No, she's a total liar. I mean, you know, all this, these things are all going to unravel. But it gives the media a chance for a few days to try to suppress the Trump voter. And I think it makes the polls highly inaccurate.
Listen.
Because you get 3 or 4 days like this, a lot of voters aren't going to say Donald Trump's name when they're called by a pollster, but they will say, they will answer Donald Trump. This is why Rasmussen is very different from some of the polls, because it doesn't require you to tell a person what you're going to do.
That's pretty interesting.
Stop it there, Chair.
I like what you're
saying. Do you understand what Newt Gingrich just said? People are afraid. Once again, people are afraid to speak the truth, right? But there's something going on now. Something's going on. They're trying to do everything they can. Jared, get that Trump video ready. They're doing everything they can to try to. They're no longer after Trump. They're after you. They're trying to attack you. No, the other one, Jared. Trying to suppress the vote. They're trying to suppress the vote. They're trying to get you to not want to turn out. Jared, it says Trump 5 minutes. It's the last one. They're trying to keep you from standing up boldly and speaking the truth. That's exactly what's going on. And what has happened?
They're the same video, Coach. They're both the same.
Are you kidding me? Hang on. I hate it when I do this stupid stuff. Where did I find it? Oh, doggone it. It's the same
video. Remember
the name of it? Jeez. It's just up there. Where did I find that? Lord, where did I find that? Why do I do this to myself? Morning Lake. Anyway, that's not it. That's this Breaver Hands. No. Is this? Yes. Here it is, Jared. Here it is. I'm going to forward this to you right now, man.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Coach?
Yes.
Let me just tell you something about Donald Trump. That in the group that I belong with Larry Nichols.
Right.
Larry put out a thing to get to Trump that he wanted to talk to him about what to do about the Clintons. And the message that he put out is just beautiful. I don't know if you heard it or not, but it's out on YouTube.
I did.
And the very thing that he said, within a few days, even though it didn't get to Trump personally, within a few days, Trump was saying the same things in a speech. And Larry was so shocked about that. And I told him, it is the Spirit of God that is moving. And Trump is listening in the Spirit more than people realize. He doesn't have to say, I'm this big Christian. What he has to do is have the time alone and God can talk to him. I'm sorry. I believe that with all my heart.
Okay, guys, listen, I want you to understand, for all of you out there that say Trump's a plant, that Trump is just a stalking horse for Hillary, that Trump is just out there to destroy the Republican Party, this, guys, listen to me, this is get your head chopped off kind of stuff. This is a bullet to the head kind of stuff. You understand this? I want you to listen to this 5 minutes from Trump and see if he doesn't lay it out. Go ahead, Jared.
The political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. And that's what's been happening. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself. The establishment has trillions of dollars at stake in this election. As an example, just one single trade deal they'd like to pass involves trillions of dollars controlled by many countries, corporations, and lobbyists. For those who control the levers of power in Washington, and for the global special interest, they partner with these people that don't have your good in mind. Our campaign represents a true existential threat, like they haven't seen before. This is not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government. The political establishment that is trying to stop us is the same group responsible for our disastrous trade deals, massive illegal immigration, and economic and foreign policies that have bled our country dry. For them, it's war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. This election will determine whether we're a free nation or whether we have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system, and our system is rigged. This is reality. You know it, they know it, I know it, and pretty much the whole world knows it. The establishment and their media enablers wield control over this nation through means that are very well known. Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever is necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals. Our great civilization here in America and across the civilized world has come upon a moment of reckoning. We've seen it in the United Kingdom, where they voted to liberate themselves from global government and global trade deals and global immigration deals that have destroyed their sovereignty and have destroyed many of those nations. But the central base of world political power is right here in America. And it is our corrupt political establishment that is the greatest power behind the efforts at radical globalization and the disenfranchisement of working people. Their financial resources are virtually unlimited. Their political resources are unlimited. Their media resources are unmatched. And most importantly, the depths of their immorality is absolutely unlimited.
All right, boys. Here's what I think. A couple questions. Number one, where's the pastor saying that? Where are the pastors saying that? And see, this isn't about abortion. This isn't about homosexual marriage. We got to stop the bleeding before we can clean it up. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. Somebody want to jump in here? You ever heard anybody say anything like that? No, you think he's just a stalking horse? Go ahead. Somebody said something. Is it you, Stephen?
I just said that was phenomenal.
I mean, everybody hates him. And then we get Christians to say, well, you know, he talks dirty to women. See, they don't see the bigger battle. If they understood the bigger battle,
hates him.
They don't understand it. I don't know how we help them to see. And I believe, Michael, that this Trump wave is so massive. They know it's massive. It is so massive that I don't know what they're going to try to do. They're going to cheat and cheat and cheat and cheat and cheat. We know that. I don't know if they're going to be able to cheat enough. Go ahead, Mike.
You see, this is why people do not see. It's the Spirit of God working. All of these years that Christians have prayed, made all of these big gatherings together, they prayed together for something like this. And now we have it coming, and we think it's not of God.
Yeah, we don't like what we don't like the guy. We don't like the guy he sent. We don't like the guy God sent. That's what I said.
So we're gonna
Lord, drown. That's not the one we want. That's not the one we wanted, Lord. I mean,
because he looks like us.
Because he looks like us. That's right. Yeah. And we know that a Christian man, a real Christian man or pastor, couldn't do it. Georgie, you're trying to get in there, man. Got to unmute.
I'm on now?
Yes.
Okay. Coach, I love this about fear because you're right. We all are susceptible to fear. And, you know, this whole thing's so absurd that Christian pastors and men of God won't step up and do something. It's just, it's absurd. And, you know, one of the sayings that always comes to me when I'm fearful is, you know, it takes a strong fish to swim upstream. Any dead fish can swim downstream. And you know what? If we don't take a stand now, what's our alternative?
Well, Georgia, that's the thing we got to get people to understand. We've got to get our Christian brothers to understand this. Kevin, what do you mean by NWO there? You just put that up on the screen.
New World Order. That's what we're facing.
And Trump's fighting it.
And he's fighting.
But see, they've convinced us all it's tinfoil hat and conspiracy theories that we don't want to believe it. When all you got to do is look at the WikiLeaks information, and we know this is exactly what's going on. Yeah, Jared.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you think it's the end times, are you going to give 100%?
No.
Coach.
Yeah, I think it is the end times. That's why I'm giving 100%. Yeah, Larry.
When you started off in 2 Timothy, there was something that jumped out of that your third verse you read that just unbelievable. I haven't seen it before. It says, Paul is writing, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the unfeigned faith. Now, that must mean there's some feigned faith. Does anyone know what the definition of feigned is? Hypocrite. Mm. The churches are full of hypocritical faith. They claim one thing, they pray for one thing, they actually believe on the inside for something else because they're afraid.
God's not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is one for the archives. You share that Donald Trump tape, man. People need to hear that. God bless you. We'll see y'all tomorrow.